Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles, if you would please, to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15. Appreciate our visitors being with us today. You're an honored guest. I mean, we are thrilled to have you, all of you, in the service with us today. And we're trusting that God will just feed you and bless you and help you and strengthen you and give you what you need. Amen? That's what we're desiring. Luke chapter number 15, we've been in this passage of Scripture. I guess this is probably the fourth Sunday morning. And we're going to do everything that we possibly can, Lord willing, to finish today, this morning, tonight. We're trying to, I need desperately to finish if we can. And I've got a whole lot of ground to cover. And so I trust that you'll be here, be attentive, be in your place this morning, tonight, have a good crowd. Because if you've been here and you've been hearing me preach about the prodigal in the far country, and we've not even got him home yet. I mean, you surely wouldn't want to miss that part, would you? Getting him home and the end result and the rejoicing and the celebration. The Bible says in verse number 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." Notice that statement. That's been seemingly our emphasis this whole series of messages, is that far country experience. "And he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all," that's not an if, that's a when.
Right.
The far country will drain and deplete you of everything that's worth anything. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will help us in these moments as we look into the precious, inspired, infallible Word of God. And we thank you today that we do have that copy of the preserved Word of God before us here today in this precious, priceless King James Bible. Have your way, Lord, as we endeavor to preach. And we know that without the unction of God, Lord, we cannot function. We know, Lord, today without liberty and power and without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that I can do or say that will have any effect in our life. And what good is church if we are not being affected by the Holy Spirit of God and challenged to a deeper walk and a challenged life for the Lord? Have your way, deal with hearts, save sinners, Lord. I can't do that. I cannot even convict them of sin. I cannot show them their need to be saved. But you can. You specialize in that, because sitting before me are a large number of people that can give testimony that you've already done that in their life. And I can as well. Praise your holy name. Lord, I pray that you'll give direction and utterance to us. We're not interested in just saying a bunch of words. I'm interested in having the utterance of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God would take control of our thoughts and of our tongue and of our actions, and would say nothing more, nothing less than the perfect will of God this morning. Unleash and unlock the Word of God to our hearts, Lord, and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, as we look into the Word of the Lord. We've been dealing with this passage of Scripture about the prodigal and the far country experience. We intended and thought was going to be just one service, but now we are in our fourth Sunday morning of dealing with this particular passage of Scripture. And seemingly God has worked in us and worked on us about this matter. I believe that he's working in us a caution, letting us all know, we that are saved, that the far country is a potential for us. It doesn't matter how far you've been with the Lord. It doesn't matter how far he has brought you. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses you can quote. It doesn't matter how much service that you've already had in your life for the Lord. And it doesn't matter how much you pray and read the Word of God. It doesn't matter what good church you go to. I want to tell you, you always, and I do as well, possess the potential of headed to the far country. All you have to do is let your flesh have its way, and it'll take you as fast as it can go to the far country. The Spirit of God will never lead you to the far country. There's nothing spiritual about the far country. Nothing. But your flesh, your fallen, depraved human nature that loves sin, hates righteousness, will take you at a breakneck speed into the far country of destruction. And the Lord impressed my heart to say this before we pick up where we're going today. This morning, I was getting ready, and I felt the impression of the Spirit to make this statement that I believe that we're not listening to this message with as much attention. Not that you're not listening, but that we don't have the attention and the seriousness of the matter. I don't think so. And one thing that verifies that is that we have some that is, by your own footprints, are showing that you're headed to the far country. In fact, some of you already have footprints in the far country. And God timely is sending this message our way, my friend, to try to rescue you from a devastated life. You don't have to live, as many of us, by saying, I have done this and that and the other, but I wished I hadn't. Amen. You don't have to live out your days with scars and misery and regret, and look back at foolish choices and say, oh, that, what was I thinking? What was I thinking when I did that? What was I thinking when I got out of church, or when I rebelled against my parents, or when I began to listen to that kind of music, or I began to look at that and begin to watch that and begin to run with this friend or that one? What was I thinking? Well, I think that's a good question, because the truth is, you don't think when sin's in control. And this is a classic example in our passage of a person that wound up in a place and a condition, the result of not thinking. Amen. I believe that's verified by the fact that, well, the Bible said in verse 17, and when he came to himself. Yeah. Amen. showing that he wasn't himself beforehand. He wasn't thinking clearly beforehand. But I trust God will speak to us today. Amen. But if you have went to the far country and you've got footprints already in the far country, I want you to know there's hope for you.
Amen.
Amen. There's hope for you.
Amen.
And we'll see that with this passage. Maybe not this morning, but hopefully through the course of the day, we'll see that taking place. I want us to look, if you will, at the first thing that we covered. I believe it was last Sunday. We talked about the selfish request in verse number 12. Note this, and this summarizes the whole attitude and actions of this young man. We don't know his name, but we have pegged him and identified him as the prodigal. Notice this in verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, note these two words, give me. Selfish request. Selfishness always leads to sinfulness. Always. Living for old number one. Forgetting about those that you will hurt with your choices. Forgetting about family. Forgetting about friends, that your choices are going to shame. Your choices are going to hurt. How many parents wet their pillow at night with tears of a broken heart of a rebellious prodigal son or daughter? Amen. Oh yes, if you choose the sinful route, you are going to hurt someone. You're going to hurt someone that loves you dearly. Whether it be a friend or a family member, a parent or your pastor, somebody you are going to disappoint and that you're going to hurt with selfishness. Now, selfishness doesn't have to be taught to a child. You don't have to have a class, Miss Paula Sue, in your classroom and have the subject matter on how to be selfish. They're born with that. You can see it early before they're even out of diapers, how they cling to their toys. And when another tries to get it, it's mine. And amen. In fact, that's some of the first words they ever learn is, that's mine. Mama, make him give it back to me. Hey, come on now. Y'all know it. Amen. Some of you still like that. Amen. No, just kidding. Help us, Lord. But you don't ever get over that. I mean, all of us. Still have that streak going through us. Amen. Amen. But there is the selfish request. And we dealt with that last week. And then I want to move on number two and deal with the sinful route. That's got to be second. When you've got self in the driver's seat, you're going to make the wrong turns at the crossroads. And when self is in the driver's seat, you can count on it. Your destiny is not going to be good. He chose a sinful route. Notice what the Bible says after he said, give me in verse 12. Look, if you will, in verse number 13. And the Bible said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. Amen. When he got selfish and he got in control, listen, he got what he wanted. He got what he asked for. Even though it was disrespectful to his daddy, even though it was hurtful to his father, he got what he wanted. And when he got what he wanted, then he went where he wanted to go. Amen. Worst thing you can do is let a child always have their way. Say amen right there. That is a short path to being a brat. Amen. Spoil rock. Amen. Amen. Come on now. I don't know who that was for. Amen. But the sinful route follows a selfish request. He took, and I want to emphasize this. The Bible said he took his journey. It wasn't the father's journey. It wasn't the father's will. It wasn't the father's way. It was his journey. It went against instruction. It went against advice. He sinned against his conscience, my friend, to take this journey. He knew better. I guarantee you, he knew better. Now, the Lord gave this little thought to me actually when I laid down last night, and I pinned it down real quickly so I wouldn't forget. I thought, well, I'll remember that in the morning. I said, nope, better not trust my mind anyway. So I pinned it down. Where there is selfishness in the mouth, there will be sinfulness in the heart. Where there's selfishness in the mouth, give me. Listen to somebody talk, and you will identify who they're living for. You won't talk long till I and me and mine, it comes out. Amen? All of those personal pronouns. Amen. And listen, when selfishness is in the mouth, it reveals sinfulness in the heart. Because the Bible said, I believe it's in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. So if there's selfishness in the mouth, there's sinfulness in the heart. And your morals will soon follow your mouth. Amen. Identify someone that's got a loud mouth. And the Bible speaks about that in Proverbs. Somebody in the book of James deals with that tongue as well. Show me somebody that's a motor mouth. Show me somebody, my friend, especially that's not been saved. Show me somebody that has a mouth problem, and they usually end up having a moral problem. Why? Because just as James presents it, that the bit in the horse's mouth controls the whole body. If you can control the mouth, you control the man. You can control the body. You control the direction. And oh, listen, if your mouth is out of control, if you got a filthy mouth, you'll have filthy morals. Amen. It's amen right there. That's right. God help us, amen. We all need to hear that. But there's a sinful route. The route was just a result of his request. Amen. It shouldn't surprise us that he took his journey into a far country after treating his daddy the way he did. Give me. And so we find there is the sinful route. And I wrote this down. Selfishness will never stay at the Father's house. Amen. When a child lives for themselves, mark it down. That's a prelude to the far country. Mark it down. It's only a short period of time till they're going to exit.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. God help us. And we better not wait till they're 16 or 18 or 20 to start. Because the devil don't wait that long. The devil starts on them when they're in diapers. Amen. And I've told you the other Sunday, I said that first little step that toddler makes in your house is not a first step in this world, but it's a first step toward the far country. Amen. You don't have to do anything. Just let them go, and they'll wind up there. They'll wind up there. God help parents to step in and say no every once in a while. Amen. Screen the friends and listen. Amen. Get their cell phone and iPad, iPod every once in a while and see what they're listening to. Because I promise you, and I don't want to get on that, that's a big rabbit that I like to run. There is a great connection between how you live and what you listen to. Even God reveals that principle. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And four times the Bible says the just shall what? Live by faith. God knows that we live according to what we hear, what we listen to. Amen. The churches of Revelation, it ends every one of them by saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. How many people will sit and hear preaching this morning inside RBT, but will not hear it?
Amen.
You might listen, but you're not hearing. There's a sinful route that he took. And everybody ought to be fearful of that. Amen. Selfishness, I wrote down, selfishness is the GPS that will chart your far country course. You don't have to ask which way is the far country. Just let self be in the driver's seat, and it will find it just like a coon hound, Brother Ron, can find the coon. Amen. That's right, isn't it? There is the sinful route. And listen, can I say this, and I'm going to move on because I've got a lot of ground to cover. I preach the way I preach, not to be your enemy, not to make you mad at me. I do not rejoice when someone is mad at me. Amen. I don't. But I want to preach it right and straight. I want to expose the far country. I want to expose the nature of your flesh. I want to expose that to try to keep you out from the far country. The best testimony is I stayed at the Father's house. I did the Father's will. I was involved in the work of the Father my whole life long. That's the will of God. Amen. The Father's house, many in many ways, would represent the church. Of course, there's practical applications as well to your own house. At your own house. Amen. The far country, of course, can be typified of the world. Going to the far country of sin that the world has to offer. Amen. He took a sinful route. He weren't forced. He took his journey. And let's move on. I've got more I could say on that, but I want to move on to number three. Not only a selfish request and a sinful route, but I want to talk about a stripping ruin. That's got to go number three, Brother Fultz. Selfish request produces number two, the sinful route. And you all know, and I know as well, the Bible shows us the nature of sin. It shows us the character of sin. It shows us the consequences of sin, does it not? Amen. But the third thing it shows us is that sinful route is going to produce point number three, and that is a stripping ruin. Oh, don't ever think for a second the far country is going to bless you. Don't ever think for a second that everything's going to be hunky-dory in the far country. Oh, don't ever think for a second that the people that writes the far country commentaries is going to tell you the truth. Those newscasts that gives the reports of the far country, they're not going to tell you about the waste. They're not going to tell you about the wore out life. They're not going to tell you about the ruined life. They're not going to tell you about the famine that will hit. They're not going to record that. All they're going to let you see is the limelight. All they're going to let you see is the popular names written up there in popularity. And everybody is envious. Everybody is awe and ooh at those names. And many of the young people, even in our church, you've heard me say this before, many of the young people in our church have as heroes wicked people. Now you tell me why that is. I mean, some of the people that they esteem high, Brother Ivan, they listen to their music. They try their best to wear their brand of clothes. They try their best to look like them. They try their best to have their identity with those people. And those people wouldn't spit on this church if it was on fire. Shame on young people or parents in the house of God that have dope smoking, beer guzzling, God cussing individuals as your hero. Amen. Say amen right there. You might as well say amen right there. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen. That's the truth. Why don't you have a good praying saying of God as your hero? Why don't you have a good man of God somewhere as your hero? Oh, why don't you have a mom or dad as your hero? Mom, dad, why don't you want to be their hero? Amen. If you quit trying to be their buddy and be an example, amen. Be an example to them, amen. That's right. God help us. We've let Hollywood train them and teach them and raise them up, and we wonder why in the world they don't have any heart for God. Well, I better get off of that, amen. Now, I want to be honest with you this morning. Brother, the far country will not bless you, but rather will burden you. The far country does not give, it takes. Can I get a witness right there? The far country does not give, it takes. You will always leave less with less than you went. Amen. Yeah. Well, help us, Lord. There's a stripping ruin that will take place. Notice this word right here. The Bible says there in verse number 13, that he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And notice the very first thing said after he got there, Brother Fultz, and there wasted. Are you listening? How many likes that term, wasted? When you waste something means you do not value that. Doesn't bother some kids to lose money because daddy's got plenty if mama will let him have it.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. But when they start having to punch the clock and when they start having to earn by their sweat of their brow, then it takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's true.
They don't mind blowing your money.
Right.
But when theirs is in the pocket, it's a different story.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I mean, Blake's 23 and I still have to buy his food when we go eat. Well, he did buy mine the other day, and I about died of 3 heart attacks in this place. I looked at him. I thought he was on dope or something. I thought, son, are you feeling bad? You sick? He got the ticket and wouldn't let me have it. I about died.
Yeah.
Lord's
working,
brother. Amen. Amen. And I know that's not good. I know that's not helping him at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why I inserted that. Really, it ain't helping me either, but anyway. Wasted. Young people, listen to it. Used to you preach out this passage, you preach to young people. But you know what? I know as many adults that's going to the far country and are in the far country or have been in the far country as I do young people. It's not an age bracket situation now. It is if you're a human being, amen, the far country has an address for you. That's why you need to focus on your spiritual life because that's the only restraint you have to the far country. This I say then, Galatians 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you hear that? That shows us right there the only restraint, the only possibility of the flesh not having its way is to offer a spiritual alternative. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Listen to me. I mean, this is true for me or you. If you choose to live after the flesh, you will very seldom ever tell yourself no.
Amen.
You will very seldom ever say, no, don't do that. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm talking about if you live after the flesh. You know why? The flesh will never say no to the flesh. The flesh loves what the flesh wants. Are you listening? Oh, listen, when you get saved, God puts His life in you. God puts His Spirit in you. God puts His nature in you. And as a result of that, we have a nature that opposes the flesh. And as I yield to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, then the Spirit of God gives me power so that the flesh will not have dominion over me. Are you listening to the preacher? I want that word to get big to you. Wasted. I'm talking about a stripping ruin. The far country will, my friend, not give but take. It will not supply but rather will strip. The word waste means to dissipate, to separate, to disperse, or to scatter, or to squander. And by the way, let me give you this. That word, and there wasted His substance. Notice that. And there wasted His substance. And that word wasted is in the active voice. You say, what does that mean? That means He did it. Active voice is the subject, is the doer of the action. Listen, I made a note right there. His substance was not stolen. For a thief to steal would be to go against your will. And you weren't be willing. You lost it. It was taken. But you weren't willing. This is a word that identifies that what he did knowingly. He did on purpose. And he cannot blame nobody else.
Right.
He wasted.
Right.
He wasted. He did.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to keep you, try to keep you from ruining your life. But if it happens, you'll have to look in the mirror and say, I did. You did. You'll be the one to blame. You can't blame circumstances, friends, family. You can't blame none of that. Amen. Come on now. How many people are living a wicked life and they're blaming circumstances? It's not. Hey, come on now. Everybody listening? It's not your habitat that's your problem. It's your heart. You've got a heart problem. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. You can put a sinner, you can put them in church, you can put them wherever, and they'll still be a sinner. Just like as Peter projects about the sow, you can take and you can give them a bath, you can put perfume on them, tie a pink bow around their head. Amen. I mean, and just make them look like the cleanest pig you ever seen. And you'll think, my goodness, that what a wonderful thing that is. Turn them loose. They'll find the nearest slop jar. They'll find the nearest watering mud hole. And the worse it stinks, the better they like it. You know why? That bath only addressed the outward stench, the outward dirt. Amen. But it was a hog on the inside. Say amen. Well, hello, help me, Jesus. Wasted. Let me give you another word that helps us to see that stripping ruin. The Bible says in that same verse of Scripture, look at it. Everybody still got your Bible open?
Amen.
Look what it said. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And notice verse 14. And when he had spent all, wasn't stolen, he spent it. Can I give you this? You know what? Hello, you know what that indicates right there? That indicates that there's a high cost to living in the far country. Or as I say it often, there's a high cost to low living. Amen? You go to the far country, you won't like the price tag. And hello, come on now, listen to preacher. There is a price tag.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It will cost you to go to the far country. It will cost you to make far country choices.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I tell you, I just cannot express how I feel in my heart that God is sending these messages right now, no doubt, to try to prevent someone from going to the far country or to try to get somebody that's already on their way to turn around and come back to the house.
Right.
Ain't no doubt about it. Amen. Help us, Lord Jesus. But the Bible said there, ladies and gentlemen, that he had spent all. He'd spent all. And again, that's in the active voice, meaning he did it. That word spent all means to incur cost, to waste with charges. There's going to be a big debt to the far country. Now, wait a minute. You don't see that when you still got a little bit left. When you still got a little money in the pocket and a little money in the bank, you don't see that spent all deal coming. Amen. You can tell by young people how they're living today. They don't think about where am I going to be in 5 years? Where am I going to be if I keep paying these high price tags? If I keep paying this great expenses for my choices, where is it going to take me in 5 years or 10 years? They don't think about that. All they live for is the right now and the pleasure of the moment. Say amen. Say amen right there. Oh, help us, Lord. And see, as a preacher, 51 years young, amen, and been preaching 31 and a half years, I'm telling you, I see where some are headed. And it grieves me. It bothers me. And I'm going to try to preach and to pray against that. Because I know the truth. You can't go to the far country and somebody else pay your bills. That's the only thing. Everybody needs to note that. I just saw that. Bible said he spent.
Yep.
You'll pay.
That's right.
You'll pay for your choices.
Man.
And you won't like the cost.
Right.
You won't like the bill.
That's right.
Right. Amen. Amen. You can mark her down, friend, when it comes to sin. There's nothing free. You know, sometimes here in the world, cars and everything, they'll give, you know, or furniture or whatever, they'll say, oh, 12 months, same as cash. Buy it today and won't pay till next year. You get that thing, man, you're whooom down the road or whatever it is you bought, and you're just loving it, and all of a sudden, bill time comes in. Time to pay now. But I don't like that. I like that free mileage. I like that free stuff.
Yeah.
But bills come in the mailbox. It's got your name on it. But the sad part of that's going to be when you realize I don't have anything to pay. You listen, hello, I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to preach fast, but not too fast because I want you to get it. The far country will break you. I'm going to jump ahead really and make a statement. He did come home. He did come home. But everything he took to the far country, he lost it and never got it back. Amen. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and tell you, hey, go and live your life and sow your wild oats and be a heathen and make stupid choices and, amen, and live in sin and lose everything. But all you have to do is run to an altar, claim 1 John 1:9, and everything will be okay. He did come home, and I'll preach this again. It's probably coming tonight, but he did. Some of you's not coming back. That's the reason the Lord wants me to say it now. Amen. He did come home. He did come home. And yes, the Father forgave him. And yes, the Father restored him.
Yes.
But his inheritance was all gone.
Right.
And you have to live. You'll have to live with that.
Right.
You'll have to live with that. I told a young man one time that claimed to have got saved here. And he had come and asked me about a decision, a choice that he was fixing to make. And I knew that it was not scriptural. I knew that it wasn't right. You don't have to have no feelings if it goes against the book. If it goes contrary to the book, you don't need to be under conviction. And so this choice that he was wanting to make and direction he was wanting to go in was contrary to the scriptures. And I said to him, sitting right out there in the front parking lot, in his vehicle, I said, God is not in that. You should not do that. Because if you do that, it is going to cripple you spiritually to ever be full potential for God. You know what he done? Got mad at me and quit coming to church. Are you listening? I'm willing to stand before God for what I told him. I promise you that.
Amen.
Amen. You said, preacher, what was you doing? I was looking up into his future, realizing that this choice today is going to have effects on you in the rest of your years. Amen. Help us, Lord. My soul, I see a lot of things need to be preached right there. He spent all. He had charges. Listen to this. I wrote this down this morning. He left it all. When he left the Father's house, he left it all, but then he lost it all. If you leave it all, walk away from parents that's trying to teach you right, walk away from a mate, walk away from church, my friend that's trying to be right and do right and preach to you right, listen, walk away from that. You'll walk away. Listen, you had it all, but you're going to lose it all. You're going to lose it all. There's never been you've heard this already. There's never been a good testimony yet that's come out of the far country. There's never been a good testimony yet that's come out of that far country world experience. He spent all. The far country life is very expensive and costly. Amen. God help us. He lost. And that's going to be, listen, you want to be a loser? Go to the far country. That's, hello, listen, that's loser land. The world is loser land. Well, preacher, it don't look like it to me. Yeah, but who are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at singer so-and-so, and I'm looking at sports star so-and-so, and I'm is that who you're looking at? And that's where you're getting your opinion that the far country is not a loser land. Amen? You know how I know it's a loser land? Because all those people is living loser lives. Show me. Hello? Come on now. Show me one of them that's got any morality. They start out, what was her name? I don't even want to mention her name, in a holy place at the house of God, and I'm not going to. But she started out in the music world, you know, claiming, you know, virginity and claiming morality and all that stuff. And everybody, all the young girls was just, oh, look at this one and that. Oh, wow. She's out there. She's popular. She's wealthy. She's rich. And she's still a virgin. She's still, you know, and all that. Hey, look at her now. When you'd have looked at that prodigal when he first come in the city limits of the lowland, come in the loser land, he did look good. Plenty of money and pockets bulging with a great amount of money. But listen, you don't write the full story off of the first few days. No book has one chapter. Go to the end of the story and find out the truth. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try my best to move on. When the world puts their hands on you, they will defile you. You can take a decent young lady, a decent young man, and let them get into the mainstream of the world and popularity and all of that that goes with that American dream. And then look, in 6 months, they have no heart for God. They're not living for God. They're already, most of them's done entertaining thoughts of drugs and alcohol. And amen, come on now. Amen. You know what you need to do? Stay at the Father's house. Amen. Stay at the Father's house. Stay respectful to your parents. Stay obedient to the Word of God. Let the Holy Ghost to work in your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how many times I've preached along this line. And everybody here knows that comes here, you know that I don't preach much at all. That I don't get on these young people. Amen. We've got a bunch of them, and they're not all here this morning. But I'm going to preach to them. I'm going to preach to them because you know why? Hello, parents. Amen. They need a lot of preaching. Amen. Because they're in a world that's appealing to their flesh. They're in a world that's hey, you think when that prodigal walked inside the city limits, he went and looked around and said, oh my goodness, what in the world have I done? This is the awfulest, nastiest looking place I've ever seen. No, I guarantee he walked into town, the lights were flashing and the music blaring and all that was attractive to the flesh.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And I only get the privilege of preaching to them, amen, about 3 times a week. And amen, and they need more than that.
All right.
You young people need your own personal devotions. You need your own relationship with God. You need your own fellowship with God. Why? Because the preacher's not always there to tell you don't make that turn. Don't say yes here. Don't go there. Don't run with this one. Amen. Your parents won't always be there, but the Holy Spirit will always be there. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching this morning. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. A stripping ruin. Mercy, Lord. You know what the Bible said in 2 John, verse number 8? Will you listen to this? Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves that you lose not. In other words, you've got things that you've labored for, worked for, that you can lose. There's things in your life you can lose. And the sad part of it is when they're gone, they're gone. Listen to this verse right here. In Revelation 3 in verse number 2, writing to the church at Sardis, he ends verse number 1 by saying, I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen, listen to this, strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You know what that word, strengthen the things that remain? The word remain identifies a contrast. Meaning there's already things that you've lost. Already some things has died. Already some things are gone and you can't get them back. But you need to focus on and strengthen those things that remain. That are ready to die. That are ready to die. Amen. It's better to keep something than it is to try to recover it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I thought about this. I'm trying to hurry. Listen, I thought about this. When he was at the Father's house, he had it all, but he thought he didn't have nothing. When he was at the Father's house, the devil convinced him that he didn't have nothing. He thought, you know what? I need to go to the far country. That's where I will find my sufficiency. But at the Father's house, when he had it all, he thought he had nothing. But then when he went to when he went with all to the far country and wound up with nothing, then he realized back at the Father's house is when I had it all. Amen? Oh, God help us. Listen to this. Naomi, in the book of Ruth, she gave testimony. She gave testimony. When she went out, went to Moab, type of the world, and came back home, she come back into town and they said, is that you, Naomi? She said, no, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She said, here was her testimony. Everybody listening? She said, I went out full. Did she think she was leaving full? She left Bethlehem, Judah in a time of famine. She thought, oh no, I don't have nothing. We don't have bread. We're going to starve. We need Moab. We need the world. We've got to go to Moab. And she influenced her whole family to go to Moab. And in Moab, she buried her husband. She buried both of her sons. And she came back home with one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth. Came back home and she said, I went out full. I didn't think so then, but it's a fact now. I went out full, but said, now I'm coming home empty. I'm talking about the stripping life. I'm talking about that stripping ruin that'll be in your life. Amen? Notice this right here real quickly. My goodness, I'm not going to get done. Which I knew I wasn't going to get done this morning anyway, but I wanted to get further than this. Look at this right here. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. You know what the word famine means? Strong's Concordance says famine means scarcity. No, preacher, don't tell me that. You're messing up my far country image. All I've ever thought was the far country is what I need to be and where I need to be. All of my friends are far country friends. My music is far country music. My movies are far country movies. My desires are far country desires. Preacher, don't tell me that in the far country there'll come a time where there'll be a scarcity, a deficiency, a lack, a famine. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. Young people, the best thing you'll ever do is listen. I can't help you if you don't listen. Your parents can't help you if you won't listen. God can't help you if you won't listen. Amen. Now, I know what some of you might be even thinking. Oh, well, preacher, I know that's for most of them. And I know that's that far country stuff is for most of them. And you know, but preacher, I can handle it. The devil's told millions that they can handle it. And guess what? Hello, this is on tape. There's not been one yet that's handled it. There's never been one yet that went to Moab as did Naomi and her family and handled it. There's never been a Lot that went to Sodom and Gomorrah and handled it. There's never been a prodigal that went to the far country and handled it. And you won't either. It will handle you. You say, what did it do to Lot? Did you know what? Oh, help me, Lord. Man, I got liberty to preach this morning. To God be the glory. I thought about Lot, Brother Tim, when him and Abraham and their herdsmen separated. You know what the Bible said Lot did? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. So he started out with a tent. A tent is a temporary dwelling. But then when later on in that story, when the men of Sodom, the Sodomites came, they didn't come to his tent. The Bible said they came to his house. Tent, I'm not going to be here long. We're just passing through. But he liked it so good being close. See, he was in the plains. He wasn't in the city to start with, Bobby. He was in the plains. He could see the city, but he was out there where the grass was at because he made a choice was what was best for his cows instead of what was best for his children. He went down there because of the well-watered plains and pitched a tent. Thinking, well, I'm not going to be here long. Next thing you know, he's got a house inside the city.
Yep.
He's not in the plain now. He's inside the city. And not only that, Brother Tim, he's sitting at the gate. The Bible said that he's sitting at the gate as one of the officials of the city. You know what happened? His enjoyments became his enslavements. He went down there and he got consumed with all of the glitter and glamour of the world and of the life that the Sodom and Gomorrah lifestyle could present. And he took his family in there. And you know the story, lost his family. He did come out with two daughters. And they were wicked as the devil. Am I talking about this morning, the stripping ruin? Show me, listen, if I'm old-fashioned and I'm daydreaming and I'm out in left field as a preacher, somebody please help me. Show me in the Bible, since we know for a fact that's the truth. Show me in the Bible anybody that went to the world and it blessed them. Abraham went through a situation and he thought, you know what I need to do? I need to go to Egypt.
Right. Come on, preacher.
And he went to Egypt and he talked to his wife into lying. Wow, that's off to a good start.
Right.
Trained up Isaac. Isaac done the exact same thing with his wife.
Right.
Egypt's a type of the world. Do you know what? I can preach this right here. I can preach till I pass out. Preach till I die of old age. And there's people sitting right here. As there are, anytime you preach, there'll be people say, preach, it don't matter. I've had them to tell me that. Here in this church, after they get right, they told me, said, preacher, you know, you preach all that about music, what you shouldn't listen to and all that. Said, I sit back here thinking, I don't care what you preach. I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. They told me that. Preacher's preaching the truth, preaching it right. And they say, well, I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. I'm going to do it. That's some of your attitudes. Regardless what I preach and how hard I preach it and straight and how much Bible I got to prove it, you still got that I'm going to do what I want to do attitude.
Right. Lord,
But you know what will happen one day? Ring, 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 ring. Hello, is Preacher Ackley? Oh, preacher, I wish I'd have listened. Yeah. Oh, help us, Lord. Stripping, run. Man, I wish I could get this next point. There's no way I could preach it. But we're going to talk about, Lord willing, we're going to talk about next, the social reliance that takes place. When sin stripped him, when he had nothing left, the Bible says that he went in verse 15 and did what? Joined himself with a citizen of that country. Social reliance. You know what he meant by the word join? It meant that he glued himself to him. He cemented himself. He fastened himself together with that citizen. He kept company with that citizen. He clave to that citizen. He's not looking too much like the father's seed now, son now. He's down there cleaving to citizens of that country. See, he first went down there and was living in the same city or the same country as they did. But now he's starting to live with them. Now he's starting to depend on them. Listen, he didn't have nothing left. He was bankrupt. He was on the bottom. So what does he do? He depends on, Brother Kruchko, he depends on a citizen of that land. Oh my goodness. He's now hooking up with those that live there. He's now got a residence there. I can tell where you're living by how you're living. He's now adapting to the far country culture. Their ways are becoming his ways. Their looks are becoming his looks. He's starting to listen now. He's starting to dress like them. He's starting to act like them. He's starting to do like them, talk like them, and even involved in the same business as them. Amen. It was first started out as the enjoyments of the far country, but now he has employment in the far country. Because the citizen, the Bible said, when he joined himself to the citizen of that country, listen to this, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of it. He said, and look at it. And when he joined himself, verse 15, to a citizen of that country, notice these next few words. And he sent him. Oh, wait a minute. The story's turning now, Brother Clipper. This whole time, y'all give me a few minutes. This whole time, the whole time, he's been doing what he wants. Getting what he wants. Making his own choices. Nobody's telling me what to do. But the story's changed now. The tide has turned now. Are you listening? Now the citizen of that country is telling him what to do. The Bible said, and he sent him. Commanded him. And he sent him to do what? Feed the swine. See, the social reliance shows that when you go so far down, you're going to start depending on what the world can do for you. What the world can give you. What the world has to offer you. Amen? He sent him to feed swine. Now, he's not serving his father. He's not even serving him on his own flesh now. Now he's serving another. Somebody else is in charge of his life now. Somebody else is in control of his life now. Please hear the preacher this morning. You run the route of sin far enough, you will go out of control of your life and you will be a servant to another master. Somebody else will be telling you what to do, where to go, how to live, and all of that. And this young man, Miss Jan, this young man right here in our text probably felt, I don't have no other choice. I don't have no money to get home. I don't have nowhere to go. I don't have nothing left. So I'm bound. I'm in bondage. I'm enslaved. Amen. And that's what sin will do for you.
Yes.
Sin will enslave you. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you need to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 before you make an assessment that I'm wrong. Wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Do you hear that? According to? You, in times past, before you got saved, you walked according to the course of this world. If you jump in a river, you know which direction you're going? According to the current. According to the direction of flow. That's what you're going to do. Listen to this. God help us. He's sinning. Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. He went, listen to this, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to just unhook right here. This is stout stuff right here. He went from give me in verse 12. He went from give me in verse 12 to look what it says in verse 16. No man gave unto me. He went from give me, give me. It's all about me. Give me, give me. And his father gave unto him. But now, after sin's ravaged his life and the far country has wore him out, now the Bible says he's in a shape and a condition where no man gave unto him. Now you say, but preacher, what was he wanting? We know what he was wanting when he said to his father, give me. But what was he wanting? Look at it. Look at this. You've got to get this. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. You know what that is? The hogs had it better than he did. The pigs had some men that would feed them and give to them. Here's a young man broke and busted and on the bottom of the barrel of sin. And guess what? Nobody's given to him. The hogs have more. In fact, in verse 16, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. He's craving even the very food that the hogs is eating. He was so hungry. He was so desperate. In fact, he describes it in verse 17, I perish with hunger. Yeah, what are you going to do with that young person? What are you going to do with that commentary when life has ripped your decency to pieces and all of a sudden now you have nothing to offer? You have nothing to offer. By the way, let me just jump off and run a rabbit that just came flying through here. There are some young men still left in this world, and they're not interested in marrying some trashy female. Hello? Y'all didn't say amen right there too much. A young man interested in marrying a decent young lady, make sure that you can provide him one. You don't want to give your husband to be, you don't want to give your husband in the future a life that's already had all kinds of fingerprints on it and been, amen, wrecked and ruined and ravaged with an immoral life.
Amen.
You ought to think more of your husband to be than that. God's got a husband for you ladies, young people. Amen. God has a wife for you young boys. And you ought to keep yourself pure and present to them at a marriage altar a pure life. But the world will not let you go that route. The world says that life that the preacher Rackley's preaching right now is old timey. Guilty. The world says, live loose. The world says, have multiple partners. It's just the thing.
Right.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
That's good preaching.
And I promise you these go together. Immorality and immodesty goes together. When a young person don't have enough decency and doesn't have enough spirituality to keep their clothes on, I promise you it won't be long till there will be a testimony of immorality. You saw a preacher, everybody's doing it. No, not everybody's doing it. This preacher's not. Hello? Oh, preacher. And I promise you, there's not, you can't find too many preachers going to preach against immodesty because they themselves is going around their little Bermudas. I talked to a pastor over toward Maryville this week on the phone. He was talking, and I said, we're going to teen camp, or youth camp this week up in Jefferson, North Carolina. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm kind of scared about my young people going to teen camp. I said, what do you mean? He said, you can go to certain camps and they dress every which way. And I said, brother, the ones we go to is not going to be like that. And I said, in fact, we're probably going to have our own next year. In fact, we've already got it booked. And it's going to be right. He said, preacher, you going to have one next year? He said, do you think there's a possibility we could bring some? Oh, Brother Darrell, it's done getting big. I said, I don't know about the first year, but it may be developing that. Amen. God help us. But I preach that. I preach that so much y'all get tired of hearing it. About immodesty. Immorality, and you still do it anyhow. Yes, that grieves me. I'll just be honest with you. It grieves me to no end. But I want to tell you, you'll never be able to say to Preacher Rackley, you didn't tell me the truth. And if I know anything, Miss Arlene, if I know anything about that Bible, you will stand and give an account for what you've heard preached. I'm responsible to preach it. What are you going to do with it? You're going to meet God with it one day. Help us, Lord. He went from being in control to being under control of another. Let's bow our hearts and heads in a word of prayer. I'm just going to quit right there. Father.